Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. Along with me is Debbie Downer.
Hello.
Also known as T. Frank Carr. I'm alluding to the end of our first quarter where T. Frank just would not let me revel in how stable the wide receiver position was. It had to turn into, well, you know, Jim, in another year they'll be losing Parker Washington and Mitchell Tinsley. Then what are they going to do? You couldn't help it, could you, T. Frank?
Wait till we get to corner.
All right, well, we'll put that off for a couple weeks, but now we're going to talk about the tight end positions. And I don't know if you were Debbie Downer on them before the season started. Everything we were hearing from the coaching staff, though, was what was the expression they used? The most complete tight end room they've ever had. They were
deepest.
Really high on it.
Yeah.
Deepest. There you go. Well, it may have been deep, but it really, they didn't give us much to see, T. Frank. And I don't know if that was by design, by was it Mike Yurcich? Was it James Franklin? Was it Sean Clifford? But it felt like the tight ends were underused.
Underused is a bit, so this is the hard thing. And this is what I've said previously when talking about this particular group, is that we're talking about a group. We're not talking about an individual. So if you add up all of their receiving targets, they're third on the team as the tight ends. Individually, they all underperformed. And I think even that number, for the number of targets they had and the overall efficiency in production, they were underproducing for those targets. But I wouldn't characterize it as underused. If you look at it throughout the breadth of the season, but when you look at it as individuals, Brenton Strange started as the receiving tight end. And then about the Ohio State game, Theo Johnson started seeing more targets and started becoming the receiving tight end. So there's a bit of a mixed message there in the end analysis of the tight ends were underused, but I think it was just individual players didn't stand out throughout the season to give you the feeling that there was a Pat Freiermuth or a Mike Gesicki in the room. Again, the depth of what they were, I think, is what clouds some of the evaluation, because it wasn't all bad. I saw some really good routes. I saw some of those things that we were talking about and alluding to about the talent in the room of Theo Johnson towards the end of the year, where he's running better routes and cooking defensive backs and making some good plays. But they were here and there. They were not consistent, and he wasn't doing anything with the ball in his hands after the catch.
Looking back on the season, I went back and said, what made me feel like the tight ends could have done more? And maybe it's that Auburn game where there were multiple chunk plays to tight ends.
Yep.
And I looked it up. The tight ends, and as you said, as a group and rating them as a group, they produced 130 yards in receptions in that Auburn game. And their total for the season as a group was still less than 500 yards. So I don't know if I saw that Auburn game at the time. I'm thinking, oh, this is a preview of what we're going to see, as opposed to being the biggest highlight of the season for the tight ends, T. Frank.
Yeah, and then in the game against Ohio State, I believe it is, I think I have the right week here, they had 8 receptions between Johnson and Strange. But again, Theo Johnson, 4 catches for 41 yards, Brenton Strange, 4 for 17. So the targets were there at times, the efficiency was not. And some of that stuff that was happening in the Auburn game was scheme specific to that game. Of they caught, especially on the one I'm thinking of in the hurry up situation, they caught Auburn in a bad spot where Auburn was not covering Brenton Strange lined up at left tackle. So you're only going to get a couple of those during the season before defenses go, oh, okay, so they're going to do that. We'll just make sure to cover that guy when he lines up at left tackle and not get surprised by those things. So some of that was a little bit of, believe it or not, good play calling, good coaching to do that, But then you only can use that trick once or twice.
You had to worry so much about Jahan Dotson and maybe even Parker Washington. It seemed to me like there could have been ways to scheme like they did in that game. Maybe not the exact same way, but find different ways to get the tight ends open. Let's talk about the players individually.
Can I just interject quickly one situation there? Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. But
go ahead.
Their idea a couple of times is that it's called a run-through block where you're faking a screen block and then you go upfield. So you got Jahan Dotson or Parker Washington on one of those bubble screens. And then the blockers are eligible receivers, and the defense, if they come up too hard on those and then the receivers run by them, that's what they were trying to do a lot this year. And sometimes once or twice it worked, but for the volume of times they were doing it, it did not quite work. So there were attempts at doing that, but it just didn't work.
Well, in talking about this and scheming to get these players open, now, we saw in the bowl game, you know, a really bad pass by Sean Clifford to miss a tight end deep.
Mm-hmm.
From watching film, how you do, were there times where they were open and Clifford just didn't find them?
Sure. There's examples of that in every game. And I would say there's examples of that. So I don't want to couch this to make it a boring answer, but there are those throws for every quarterback. But the specific part of Sean Clifford to me is that those 8 to 15 yards in front of the safety where the tight end works a lot, he doesn't like to target that over the middle of the field, because if the ball is overthrown, it's going right to the safety. You have run the risk of throwing the ball and then getting the guy hit really hard. So there's more risk of that, but a good quarterback throwing with anticipation and timing can shred the defense over the middle of the field in those situations if you target those big physical tight ends the way that Penn State could. So that was one area where I would say, yes, that was a factor of the specific quarterback seems to not want to do those particular things, limiting this position group. But there's a lot of that for every quarterback. Just this one matched up perfectly with that.
Gotcha. And if there's a fear of overthrowing the receiver, we know that has happened with Sean Clifford. We've seen that. Let's talk about the individual players. Theo Johnson, Brenton Strange. That seems to be a case of one and 1A with the two of them. And it always felt like Theo Johnson was the one with more potential. How do you feel about that?
So what's potential? So because he's 6'6", 256, he's that big. It comes down to his recruiting, too. If he was one of the main guys in his class, he got a lot of run when we were talking about his particular group of players coming into Penn State. I still think Brenton Strange, a former wide receiver who plays at 250 and looks like a natural 250, has as much talent in a different way. And he's older, so his blocking has become more proficient this season. I know that we had this conversation, again, going back to the group. The group of tight ends were called out for their blocking after that Auburn game, or after the Villanova game, one of the two. And then after that, Brenton Strange was a good blocker the rest of the season. Now, some of that comes down to scheme and where he's lined up opposed to other guys, and there's more to be said about that. But he was getting his job done. Tyler Warren was getting his job done as a blocker as well, but there were games where he did struggle. And there were games where he came in for only a couple of plays, and he didn't have a significant impact, so that makes it look like he wasn't blocking well. Theo Johnson struggled to block all year long. As a former receiver, his, you know, freshman season, still learning the position, I think that's pretty clear. He did struggle in that area of the physicality of the run game. So that's a work in progress. But I wouldn't say the tight ends at the end were bad blockers. They were good, but as a unit, they had weaknesses.
Tyler Warren is the third tight end, and he was also used in different ways. He's a former quarterback.
Yep.
He was used in the Wildcat. How do you see him being used going forward?
More. He proved at the end of the season he's a good receiver. So some of the catches he made were what you're expecting of the other guys. Did not see a lot of targets. He was used, as you said, in a bunch of different ways to get him touches without taking away from the roles of the other guys. Next season, everything's got to be up for grabs because he's a good blocker. He's physical. He might not have the most high-end speed potential and all those things. But when you're a receiver, your job is to catch the ball. I said this last week on my show. There's two ways you can add value as a tight end. And this is in a traditional sort of stereotypical sense. Run guys over or catch balls that you shouldn't in those 50-50 contested places. He was the best contested catch guy. He got two opportunities to do it, and he got both of them. The other guys did not. So more information is always necessary, but I like what I saw there. It looked right. It passed the eye test. He should get more opportunities until something else is proven.
It sounds like you're thinking we may see more of Tyler Warren in this tight end room. Now, the other guys involved at tight end, Khalil Dinkins is there. I believe he redshirted, so he'll be a redshirt freshman. And then you have the true freshman, Jerry Cross. And I just look at his size, 6'6", 257. That's a guy... And sometimes not the case at Penn State when they bring in a freshman tight end. This is a kid who already looks like he has the body of a collegiate tight end. Do you expect we'll see anything from either of those this coming season?
I wouldn't think so. Excuse me. I wouldn't think so. First off, Khalil Dinkins needs to get bigger. He was a guy that actually played a little bit of tight end in high school. He was used in a ton of different ways, both on defense and offense. But he's a little undersized. He's got to get bigger and play bigger. And you know, for his sake, I hope he's like 245 by next year. And then Jerry Cross, I will be completely honest with you. I don't know anything about Jerry Cross because he has no film from high school. He missed the 2020 season because of COVID. And then he was hurt his senior season. And when he did play, those games were not available on film for me to watch. I've seen some stuff. I know he blocks in line, and he looks pretty good doing it. And he is a big receiver that maybe in a straight line is fast, but I don't know is overall a fast football player. So all of those things tell me he needs to work on his technique when it comes to his route running and it comes to his blocking. And that, to me, says with the depth you have, he's going to redshirt. No need to rush it. He's got the size, refine everything, and then deploy him when you need him. And I think that's probably a realistic timeline for him, too.
Yeah, that's no surprise when you've got potentially four guys in front of you in the room that you would redshirt him. Final thoughts on the tight ends as a whole. What do you expect to see in the coming season?
I expect this group to be better. I know that there's a lot of negativity about the Penn State offense and about this group because of the expectations set by some of the comments by James Franklin. But that talent didn't go anywhere. And some of the things started to come out at the end. I'm expecting those to get better. I would think this is a good group next year.
That's a very good sign when we hear there should be improvement, and we hear that from Mr. Debbie Downer. All right, that is it for quarter number two in the tight ends. Quarter number three, we're going to get to your questions and ask T. Frank.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.